afternoon. Thank you for welcoming me here to be with you. I'm so honored. I'm Nancy Ludwig, and let's all stand and sing The Church in the Wildwood. This busy life, give us times of refreshment and peace, and grant that we may so use our leisure to rebuild our bodies and renew our minds, that our spirits may be open to the goodness of your creation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we come to the hymn sing. Have a seat or stand, whichever you wish. Yes?
In the Garden, page 428, please, all three verses.
Oh, sounds good. In the Garden, page 428, all three verses. Sounds good to me.
I come to
him. Yes?
5:15, I'll be a sunbeam.
And how many verses?
First and last.
5:15, I'll be a sunbeam, first and last.
Oh,
going to take one more, because I was told that we'll just stay here all afternoon and sing, which is not a bad thing. Yes?
Ring the Bells of Heaven, number 28.
Page 28, Ring the Bells of Heaven. Which verses would you like to do?
As all. Can we do three at a time for all of them?
How many do we have? Let me see.
Let's see. It's one of the three. It's one of the three.
Sounds fine. Three verses of Ring the Bells of Heaven, 28. Service now where we want to ask prayers for those we know and love. We can even ask prayers for those we don't know and love. Do I have requests?
You pray.
Anyone you would like us to pray for? I'm sorry, did you?
I said Ukraine.
I'm sorry, thank you. Ukraine. I would like to pray for a friend of mine, Claudia, who some of you may know. She comes here sometimes for services and studies yoga with Jenny. And she's broken her ankle, and she's looking forward to 12 weeks of being in bed and hopping around when she can. So I'd like to ask your prayers for Claudia.
My brother-in-law had a massive stroke about 6 weeks ago, and he's not taking it very good.
What is his name?
Raymond.
Reagan?
Raymond.
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 Thank you. Jenny?
I'd like to praise God that, well, let me use her. I didn't put it in the bulletin that Robin was going to be playing for today, so a double thank you for you guys making the trip to Montrose.
It's an honor. Thank you. Yes?
I'd like to offer praises for this church.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that it's still here.
Yes.
I got one more to add, the Fizikas family, and that's all of my family.
The Fizikas family.
Some of them don't come to church, and maybe one day will come back.
Let us pray. Most Holy Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this beautiful state that we live in. We thank you for this beautiful place of worship, this beautiful sacred space. We praise you for musicians, preachers, but most especially for those who are in the pews, who are volunteering their time, their love, their service, without whom we would not have a church. We pray for Raymond, most especially, and I will pray for Claudia with Raymond, that Raymond and Claudia accept their near future and do what they're told by their doctors and their nurses and their families so that healing will come quickly. We pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for all who are in the midst of unsettling events. We pray that they will feel your healing grace, that they will take refuge under the shadow of your wings. We pray also for the Fizikas family and for all families, some of whom have faith in your resurrection, some of whom who have not seen that yet. And I pray most especially for this community that I find myself in right now. And I praise your name. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Placed your offering in the plate in the rear of the church, you're welcome to on the way out. But please know that the fact that you're here, that we're together, is a blessing and an offering in and of itself. Let the prayers and songs of our lips and the meditations of our hearts be worthy offerings to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. According to Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Pretty much all through his younger years, our second son, I'll call him Little Johnny to protect his identity, when presented with a number of choices, had a great deal of difficulty making a decision. One of the greatest challenges he faced occurred when we went out to eat. "Do we all know what we want? Are you ready to order?" Another sweep of the menu. "I don't think we're quite ready." "Not to worry, I'll give you a few more minutes." This could go on for 3 or 4 more episodes. And rather than awaiting a special meal, the rest of us were beginning to lose our appetites. On one occasion, Little Johnny retired to the car and stayed there until we were ready to return home. I seem to remember his older brother ordering something to go that he was sure Little Johnny would enjoy. But this is life, isn't it? Too many choices, too many voices trying to break into our thoughts. Time constraints, deadlines, too many commitments, too many responsibilities. Those of us with computers and cell phones can purchase apps to help us with our to-do lists. But however you make your to-do list, depending on how busy you are, we finally get to the next thing on the list and it's not necessary or it's too late. The Puritan ethic instilled in me at an early age implied that it was much more important and I was much more likely to be rewarded if I were busy around the house, weeding in the garden, shoveling the snow off the sidewalk, washing the car, helping to prepare meals, ironing something, setting the table for a meal, cleaning bathrooms, vacuuming. In fact, looking back on it, I often felt a sense of guilt when I descended to the basement to practice piano. The one unactivity that was never frowned upon was doing schoolwork. But other than that, the more you scurried, the more your parents loved and valued you. Either I got it wrong, or my Sunday school teacher did. Why is Martha getting scolded for busily scurrying around the house? Why does Jesus say Mary is the one who gets it right and has chosen the better part when she's just sitting there? Could it be that Martha should have been attending to the guest she herself had invited in? Instead, it was as if she felt she'd fulfilled her hospitality assignment by inviting Jesus in and then pretty much forgot about him. So consumed she was with tasks and preparing for the next person who might drop by. As I proceed further down the road of life, the occasions for sit and listen, for be with, are in danger of becoming less frequent unless I make them intentional. And I wonder if our Martha Mary story is rather about me and us. The thing about being busy is that it is me-centered. It has nothing to do with anybody else. In fact, it distracts me from being with others. It provides me with excuses for not getting involved. Not that time alone is a bad thing. I recall once, as part of a job application, I was required to take one of those question and answer tests that delves into your personality traits and attempts to explain you to yourself or your prospective boss. One of the examiner's conclusions was that I need to spend at least 2/5 of my waking hours alone. I think something like that can be said for many of us. We need downtime, alone time, time to fuss in the garden, time to create, Martha time. But the better part that Jesus speaks of is Mary time, when we are able to pay attention to the person we're sitting with, making the time to be nourished by the stories of someone else's life. We listen in order to hear what that person is or isn't saying. We share our common experience. We pray together. Sometimes we sing together. We hold hands. We minister to each other. We enter into community with the other. And if we fail to make intentional time to do that, we may very well miss the opportunity to look into the face of Jesus. We are here together this afternoon in this place with folks we know well, some we know slightly, some we've never seen, and may never again. We are here together in community as God intended. Only one time in the creation story does God say it is not good. And that is when he creates humans. And he says, it is not good that the man should be alone. So let us recognize the Martha in ourselves and not be worried or distracted by it. Let us pray that God leads us along the path of choosing the better part, the part where man or woman will not be alone, the part where we seek and serve Christ in all persons and respect the dignity of every human being. Amen. And I believe we have a closing hymn, which is number 365, Trust and Obey.
He sends, we will go.
Support us all the day long until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then in thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.